Are we on?
Okay, it's time for our favorite show.
Good morning!
We are back.
We are back, baby.
We're back!
But calling sick.
I'm not sick!
Just working from home today.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
Yeah,
but I'm doing it.
Butt naked.
Showtime.
TSN 1200.
We are back. How you doing, everybody? 9:07 on a Tuesday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. Hope you're having a good start to the day. Going to connect with TSN's director of scouting, Craig Button, in just a couple of minutes. Get the latest on his Craigslist, his scouting list, which is out as of yesterday. Certainly in the wake of having any games, etc., to talk about, especially for fans of teams that have high picks in the draft and the top 10. A lot of great debate spurred by Craigslist, so look forward to chatting with him coming up in just a couple of minutes. It was interesting that Mark Masters from TSN connected with Quinton Byfield yesterday. Of course, Quinton is from Toronto, member of the Sudbury Wolves. We had Corey Stillman on, Simmer, last week, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Said he, like Craig Button, Evgeny Malkin is your comparable on Quinton Byfield.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said, he was asked, well, what do you think about becoming an Ottawa Senator? Said Quinton Byfield said, I'd be happy to go to Ottawa for sure. Any team that drafts me, I'll be happy to go to. They'd be close to home, which is great. I could get my family out there quite a bit, and all my friends could make the trip as well. So Ottawa would be a good landing spot for sure, end quote. So check off another box of another prospect, top prospects that would be more than happy to come to Ottawa.
Yeah, and almost all. Always, they're going to say that they're ready to play. Generally, it's not a rule of thumb to say I don't want to. I've often asked, when you sit down the athlete and say, would you like to make $1 million U.S. this year and play in the NHL or $25 a week back in junior?
And live in Sudbury.
I've yet to meet one other than Brendan Witt, but that's a story for another day, and our next guest can relate to that. So that is generally exactly. And to the location, these guys are very well prepped. And hey, to be honest with you, I know Ottawa's had its ups and downs, but when you look at the bubble of the players, treatment of all 31 teams in the National Hockey League of their players has never been better.
Absolutely. All right. Without further ado, we welcome to the show TSN's Director of Scouting, Craig Button. As we mentioned, Craig's out with his latest Craigslist, his second-to-last draft ranking before the draft, whenever it's held at some point this summer. Craig joins us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, Craig?
Hey, I'm good, but here's the big question, JR. Like, if there's no more games, and I just put out a list yesterday, what the hell could change?
Well, listen, we asked that question, Craig. We also asked the question of how did it end up you've got 103 guys on your list? We were trying to do the math on how you ended at 103.
Three rounds, yep. 93 yep. plus 10.
Okay. Just 10 just because they're, you want to be able to move them into your top 93?
No, I mean, you do it. I mean, I think you just it just became a nice little number, like three rounds plus 10, right?
So yeah. You really threw JR for a loop on that one, Craig. So now we've gotten that out of the way in hour three. You can continue on.
And then the other one, too, there'll be another list. Okay, it'll be exactly the same as this one. Yeah. So what it'll be is find Waldo. I'm going to make little subtle moves that people have to find.
All right. Well, listen, what are the NFL is going to face this first and foremost, because their draft is less than a month away, and who knows when the NHL draft is going to happen, and if it happens, in what form is it going to happen? But just the thought of players not being, there's going to be no draft combine, of teams not being able to meet either one last time or in a bigger picture, meeting all the guys at once. What impact might that have come draft time if those meetings don't take place?
Well, and I think the key word there, JR, is if, right? So, like, I mean, it's been postponed right now. I mean, there's a couple of things. You know, the combine has it really serves a significant purpose for NHL teams, not just to meet the players, the interviews, and to spend time with them, and then all of that, the face-to-face meetings that go on. But for the strength and conditioning coaches and for the scouting staff, you know, you go through the scouting reports. You say, okay, this player, we really like him. You know, we think he needs to improve in this area. How much stronger can he get? And that's where the combine comes in, because the strength and conditioning coaches can say, hey, listen, we think he's got this much room to improve in his strength. We're not so sure that he has that ability. So it becomes a significant part of the process to come to a point where you say, this is the guy we want. This is the guy. Because Sean will tell you this. Every team now basically is working in clusters. You know, you have a pretty good idea of where you're picking, you know, at that point in the season. And now you're looking at clusters of players. And what you're trying to do is get an order within that cluster. And so if you're picking, and if you think you're picking somewhere around 18, right, like you got a cluster of five players, and what you want to do is go through that group of players really in depth and say, okay, this is the guy that we think is the best player, this is the second. And that's where the combine for the strength and conditioning, the physiologists come in and say, hey, listen, we think this guy might have a better chance to improve than that guy. And then, you know, that's what you're really trying to do is you're trying to look at how much improvement they have in projecting. So the combine's pretty significant. But the one thing I'll say, JR, is that no team has an advantage. You know, we know about all the reports and the allegations against the Arizona Coyotes who were doing some illegal things, but I don't think they have any type of combine information that would give them a leg up on anybody.
Craig, the NFL was able to get their combines in, but not some of the medicals and interviews. Do you foresee a situation possibly where the NHL would say, you know what, as you said, it's a level playing field for everybody. We are going to go ahead without the combine?
Well, it depends when, you know, how they want to have the draft. What I would say, Sean, is I don't think that that's their goal. I think they want to have a combine. Make sure that they have the medicals in place. And because, you know, there's also, you know, understanding, you know, underlying problems. Like, if you're Hendrix Lapierre and you want to show that you're capable and that you've been given a clean bill of health, well, that's fine. But the teams all want to know that too, right? So, you know, that's a really good player, and that becomes significant. So I don't think there's a scenario where they don't want that to happen. Now, I mean, like 2005, could it be a case of where it happens? Yeah, but I think they're trying to do everything they can to ensure that there can be some form of a combine and, you know, the medicals can take place.
With the TSN Director of Scouting, Craig Button, on Hendrix Lapierre. He's a local kid from right across the river. You've rated him as the 10th overall. You said he's the best two-way player in the draft, but with the concussion issues, do you see him as the biggest potential slider in this draft based on how teams are feeling about that concussion history?
Well, I mean, and that's where the medical comes into play, right? And understand, you know, Hendrix is a terrific player. He really is. You know, watching him for 2 years, watching him within his age group, I mean, he's a terrific player. But, you know, you get beset by a concussion. He hasn't played since November 21st. You know, that's cause for concern. The one thing that I've said, JR, is that, you know, when Sidney Crosby had his concussion issues, it didn't make him any less of a player. Now, we all speculated, was he going to be the same player when he came back? What was he going to look like? Everything that went with that. You know, he got healthy, he came back, and we've all seen the answer to that. Well, we don't know the answer to that with Hendrix. So what you try to do is you try to look at, okay, what do our doctors tell us? What do the medical reports tell us? You know, what types of evaluations, meeting the kid and understanding where he's at, what does that tell us? And that's what you're trying to do because, you know, I think teams know he's a really good player, but you want to have that, you want to be as assured and as confident as possible that the player you're selecting is going to be able to play and be able to have a full and healthy career. So there's no question that when you look at him, in my mind, he's a player the team's eye. But you know, right now it's he could go 10, he could go 15, he could go 30. I mean, who knows? He might slip into the second round, depending on what the reports come back.
And Craig, I mentioned Crosby. I also mentioned Patrick Stephan. And I guess for a doctor, your question would be, hey, no two concussions are the same. Is there something different on a teenager versus, you know, Crosby in his mid-20s? I guess if you're a general manager, from what you know, if you had a top 10 pick, would you take Lapierre? Just on the information that you have right now.
Would I?
Yeah.
Like, did he stay healthy?
Well, from whatever you've been told, and I mean, you have great networks within the hockey world. Like,
yeah,
you know,
but no. Medically, I don't. I
okay,
know he was.
Okay,
I know he was working. You know, hard to, you know, to try. To, when I say hard, you know, you have to give it the requisite amount of time. And when we think about November 21st and we go, oh, geez, November 21st. But when you rewind, I mean, it was 3.5 months. So, you know, you have a knee injury, Morgan Riley, and I know they're different things. Morgan Riley has a knee injury, you know, in his draft year. He missed a significant amount of time. He went fifth overall because they were totally, he came back and played, and they were totally satisfied that he was a player that had no ill effects, but they went through it. So I don't know exactly what the medical reports have been on Hendricks. I know that they were hopeful that he was progressing and that he might be able to return to play. But at the same time, you know, what I would say to you is if medical staff and you go through your medical staff and they say, hey, listen, you know, he's at no more risk or of anything than any other player, then we see players have concussions in the NHL, and we see players go through that. If I knew that from my medical staff, then he would fall into the pool with every other player.
Well, at this time of year, Craig, when there are no games being played, we're always appreciative of people who start debates for us. And you did that yesterday with your list when it came out, and you had Jack Quinn ahead of Marco Rossi. You got a ton of feedback from 67 season ticket holders and people that are fans of the team that watch these two guys play. It was a meteoric rise for Jack Quinn on your fall list. You had him at 29. You have him at 6. What made you, at the end of the day, put Jack Quinn slightly ahead of Marco Rossi?
Yeah, and I mean, listen, the great thing about a debate like that is if, you know, somebody said Rossi could go ahead, I mean, I have no problem with that. I mean, Rossi's a heck of a player. What it came down to for me is that I think that when I use a comparable type player, I use David Pastrnak for Jack Quinn. That's a 50-goal scorer. That's an elite, elite two-way player. And that's what I see Jack as. I don't see Jack just as an offense, as a goal scorer. He kills penalties. He scores goals in many different ways. He's a good playmaker. And you watch how much he's improved and, you know, how he's taken that step ahead physically. It's so impressive. And then I start to think about how much more room does he have. And him and Marco are the same age. I mean, there's a few days separating them. And Sean, I compare Marco Rossi to Nick Backstrom. I mean, Nick Backstrom's a top offensive player in the league. So it comes down to, you know, Marco Rossi, Nick Backstrom, Jack Quinn, David Pastrnak. You know, I went with the better goal scorer. That's really what it came down to for me. But I think they're both terrific players.
Yeah, and that is the debate. It's not a negative. I said between those two, and if Byfield is Malkin, I'll probably take all three on my team.
Let me add one thing too, Sean, and you know this, and you can go through this. I mean, you know, JR, we sit there and we go, oh, 6-8, right? Like, again, I talk about clusters, right? Like, I mean, so, you know, if you're sitting down as a team, and let's just say the Ottawa Senators, and they go, okay, what does Rossi bring to us? What does Pastrnak bring to us? You know, you're looking at the cluster and you go, okay, we want the Backstrom type. That's what we want. We want a center. Or we want the Pastrnak type. It's not like you're going wrong, but that's where the discussion goes, and then you make that decision, and then you take that player. I try to get players in the right clusters. And I feel pretty confident when I get my list done that I'm putting players in the right clusters. And for me, it's one, Lafreniere stands alone. Then I go from 2 to 5. And then I go from 6 to about, I think, 6 to 15 or 16. Those are my clusters. And, you know, you try to, in that first part of the draft, and that's where you try to go through. And that's how I try to go through. And then, you know, within it, you try to make those arguments or discussions, okay, this guy over that guy. But if somebody says, hey, listen, you know what, I want Lucas Raymond because I think he's a Mitch Marner type, you know, and you take him at 6 or ahead of Quinn, I would have zero issues with that.
And also in the clusters, Craig, I was trying to make a comparison basically with Hughes and Doc, Kako to some extent, but with Rossi to Quinn, Lafreniere with the late birthdays, not a big difference in age being 01s. How much of a factor do you look at where Byfield, quite simply, is almost a full year younger than Lafreniere as far as projection?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's always a factor because what you're trying to do is not only take into account the, you know, what the age of the player is, but then you're also trying to project, you know, how good he can be given, you know, that age of 21, 22, whatever you want to use, you know, when the maturity playing field levels off, so to speak. But, you know, I mean, Quinton's born in August. And, you know, like, I think that the Quentin is going to just continue to grow in to himself as a player and grow into that body. So it's really, I don't know if it's really significant, because what Alexis Lafreniere has done, and he's done it since day one, since he entered junior hockey, is dominated. He's been a dominant player. He's been as advertised. And so you already know, I would say that if Quentin Byfield can do the same thing by his third year of junior, that, you know, you're looking at a top end player. You know, we look at Malkin, you know, a Malkin type player offensively. You know, he's got a determination to be like Kopitar as a really well rounded two way player. Well, that's a Hall of Famer. So you're not going wrong there. But I think you have to take that into the discussion, Sean. I think to dismiss it would be wrong.
With Craig Button, TSN's director of scouting, Ottawa's sitting right now with 2-3. Again, who knows if there's going to be a lottery, if it is, what form it's going to take. But let's say, for the sake of argument, Craig, that Ottawa sits there and they end up with the second and third picks. Do you think they just follow, you know, your list, go for two elite centers? That certainly is an organizational need. Or do you look at them as maybe grab one center and then maybe go for, you know, either a high scoring winger or a defenseman or something like that?
You know what's amazing when you're in that spot? So let me just say this. Like, I mean, I know I've seen some things, you know, about the lottery. Listen, everybody's played 68 to 71 games in National Hockey League. You know, we have a body of work. You know, the lottery is, like, they might say, hey, listen, it's going to go by points percentage. I mean, we've seen that the junior teams have done that in terms of their lottery, the Western Hockey League. They went by points percentage. I mean, there's enough of a body of work. I mean, they're not going to open up the lottery. I mean, you know, they might say, hey, listen, one team, you know, you're in the playoffs and you get to be a part of the lottery based on points percentage. Maybe they go by points. It's going to be, I have no doubt it's going to be a 15-team lottery, and it's going to be weighted the same way, 1 to 15. So I don't see that changing. So that puts Ottawa in a great position, number one. Number two, I think they have a chance. No, I don't think they have a chance. They're going to get two really good players. They're going to get impact players. They have a very good prospect pool, very good prospect pool at all the different positions. So to me, the Ottawa Senators have an unbelievable opportunity here to add two difference makers, two significant players to their lineup. So whether you're picking two and you say, okay, listen, we like Perfetti, or we don't want Jamie Drysdale, or we want Marco Rossi or Quentin Byfield, I just don't see, as you go through there, and like I said, going all the way down to nine, okay, because LaPierre now becomes a little bit of that question mark player, because you want to get answers on him. But to nine, I don't see how they could go wrong taking any two of those guys. I just don't. I'll take the goalie out of it, only for now, and I love the goalie. But outside the goalie, I don't see any skater that they could absolutely go wrong on.
Craig, another player that has risen quickly has been Jake Sanderson, the son of Jeff. Based on, again, I'm just hearing what people say, but between he and Drysdale, would there be some war rooms that are trying to kind of figure out between the two of those who they would take with their first pick? Is it that close, I guess, is the question?
Yeah, and let me just tell you this, okay? So I'm an idiot, okay? Jake Sanderson was – no, but Jake Sanderson was always a good player. I watched Jake from the time he was playing Bantam hockey here in Calgary, okay? And, you know, I don't, I'll tell you, it's funny to me, but, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, you come back from the World Junior, you're doing your list, and all of a sudden, you know, so I fell asleep at the wheel. I go to the All-American Prospects game, and I see Jeff Sanderson, longtime NHLer, you know, Jake's dad. He comes up to me, he goes, 33, Craig, what are you doing? I looked at him, I just said, I fell asleep at the wheel, Jeff. I don't know what else to tell you. I really did. It was an absolute, you know, like brain lapse. And so anyway, so you might see that he was 33, because that's just to point out how dumb I was.
Yeah.
But Jake's a really good player. I don't think he has the same offensive ability as Jamie Drysdale. I see Jake as more of a Mark Edward Vlasic type. You know, he's going to be a really good defenseman. He's going to be a really significant defenseman on your team. But I don't think he's going to be able to generate the same amount of offense that Jamie Drysdale does. Could there be a debate? Yeah, there could be a discussion. But I think that Jamie has established himself as the best defenseman in the draft.
How much weight do you put in? I know when Cole Perfetti played here in Ottawa, you were here for that game. So you've got Cole Perfetti, you got at number four. You've got Quinn at six and Rossi at eight. You go to the U-17s and the World Juniors and the U-18s. When you're putting together your list, your final list, Craig, how much do you put into the head-to-head, where you see really, really elite players who are playing against each other when you're putting together your list?
Well, I think it's such an unbelievable opportunity. I think when you're looking at Cole Perfetti as a winger and you're watching him play against Rossi and Quinn, it's not so much, you get a great opportunity to watch how they operate and they compete. I like it more when it's a good defenseman against a good forward, obviously the goaltenders against the forwards. So, you get those opportunities to watch those players in those settings, and I think it's always good. But, I never think it's a it's one piece. It's one small piece. I think it's just phenomenal when you can watch top-end players out on the same ice surface together and trying to show, and they're competitive. You know, you get a game like that, and, Cole wants to show, hey, wait a sec, I'm better than Quinn, and I'm better than Rossi. Rossi and Quinn want to show that they're better. So I think it's really neat to watch that kind of that competition that they have to show that they're better. But it's just one evaluation. And, I've watched Cole Perfetti play since he was 14, playing in Whitby. And, he played with Darren Drager's son. So he was a bantam playing minor midgets. So having watched him play for so long and watched, how much he's progressed, we got to be careful about if they have a great game or they have a bad game. It's one game, and I think you always got to keep that in mind.
Craig, Ottawa, 8 picks in basically the top 64, 2-year draft in the 103. This has also been talked about as the actual depth. How excited should Sens fans be of having that many picks that high in this year's draft?
Yeah, you should be. There's not a first round pick in there as well, right? It's not just one. It's not just the two first round picks are high. They also have another first round pick, which is significant. I think there's real quality in this draft, Sean. I think it's one of the deeper drafts I've seen in the last number of years. And when I say deep, I'm talking about, so we go through the first part of the draft, and I'm talking about first line players, number one goalie in Askarov, top pair defenseman, or number three. And then as you get deeper, good second line forwards, good second pair defensemen. And I think that goes well deep into the second round, maybe, in terms of potential into the early part of the third round. So if you got that many picks, in the first 64, I think that it gives you a couple of things. It gives you the potential to draft players that could be really good, and it gives you currency to do other things. Because I think most teams are looking at this draft as exactly like that. And Sean, you sat at the table. You know how teams get. They have a player rated high, and they're going, oh, we need this player. All of a sudden, the phone rings at the Ottawa Senators table, and maybe they get another pick. Maybe they get a second-round pick next year for one of their picks. And, you're not going to it becomes hard to sign all your players from one draft. And if you're going to have eight in the top 64, you think they're all going to play. So you can also use it as currency. I think it's
with that.
Put themselves in a phenomenal position
with that many picks. If you're Pierre Dorion, should you switch ensembles or just go with one suit the whole time?
Wouldn't that be great? Comes in and he wears. Well, he wears like three different feet. Like he layers it, right?
Oh, absolutely. One with a nice bright red. Yeah. Well, team colors.
All right, good stuff.
Yeah, it would be great. But it would be like that. I think the Senators are so well positioned. I mean, again, they have a really good coach. They have a really, really good prospect pool with really good players. And players that can play in all different parts of your lineup. Not just like, oh, yeah, they have these top prospects. They have so many different good players that are going to play for the Ottawa Senators. And tell you what, I think it's an exciting time to be a Sens fan because I think the future for the Senators is really bright. And it won't become that much brighter after this year's draft.
All right. Good to catch up with you. How are things on the home front for you?
All good?
Oh, they're all good. Yeah, they're all good. You know, we're physically distancing, but not socially distancing. And, you know, that's just the way we got it. That's what we got to do. So
yep.
I hope the same for you and your families, and that we all just keep doing our part to make sure that we can get back to doing the things that became normal parts of our lives.
Absolutely. And enjoying all the content on TSN.ca that you're contributing. Really appreciate the time this morning. And no doubt we'll be leaning on you again down the road. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. Thanks, JR. Thanks, Sean.
All right. There's Craig Button, TSN's Director of Scouting, joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Brought to you by Pizza Perks at Gabriel Pizza. Download the Gabriel Pizza Perks app and sign up today. Always love talking hockey with Craig Button. We'll take a break at 9:32 as we continue along here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Me up when I'm needed on a Tuesday.
There you go. Okay. Any other requests for the rest of the week while we're at it? Certainly an open to the good listeners. Well,
yeah, you played the Avicii. I was going to make a request to watch the documentary, but you guys don't listen to me at all. So that will not be the case. That is a musical genius, and what a sad story. But didn't know any of the kind of backstory to people making music off computers is not a whole lot different than old Beethoven working the paper back in the day. Pretty cool.
I'm getting around to the Bastards of Baseball. Oh, I'm getting around to your water bottle one. I'm getting around to what else have you suggested now? Avicii's documentary. There's Larry Walker and Jacques Villeneuve.
Jeff Hopper saved my life on the weekend because he found on whatever Prime, one of those channels there, I was able to relocate the Senna documentary, which I had not watched for over a year. So I watched that for the 50th time, and I tried to make Mira, although her son Maddie, either he got sucked in or bought in. I watched Life on the Taiga, Happy People. Which is a documentary about fur traders that live in the forest in Russia.
What? Yeah. And this was with Mira's son.
Well, and Maddie liked it. Mira was laughing, but years ago, and if anybody knows Jeff's wife, Louise, had lived in Russia, I was saying to them, listen, there's this documentary you're going to love. They got about 10 minutes in and then sent me a text that I'm out. I was able to secure and watch that for the 100th time.
Wow. Yeah. Good to hear. Yeah. We've at our house. I've limited the television. We're now down to Ozark.
Yeah,
we're doing one episode a night.
Oh, smart. Nice.
As the nightcap.
Yeah.
All right. So I do my work for the show.
Lights kind
of,
out.
Yeah, kind of 7 to 9, 9:30. Or last night was 10 because I had to watch the Eagles finish off the Patriots in Super Bowl 52. And a note to the mothership, TSN. Thank you for running that game in its entirety. I had actually not watched it from start to finish since I was nervously watching on February 4th, 2017, when the Eagles won the won their first and only Super Bowl. Yeah. I had not watched the game in its entirety, and I'd seen snippets and sort of the last 5 minutes of the game or whatever, but never watched it. So it was great to rewatch the whole thing, knowing how it was all going to turn out.
Well, for sure. And other than the trick play, was there any one thing that kind of stood out to you? Because that's when you go back and review these things. Sometimes you're watching in real time as a fan. You're so locked in.
Yep.
Did one thing jump out and say, wow, forgot about what a great play that was?
Not necessarily a play. But the fact of how many hits that the Eagles put on Tom Brady throughout the game. The only sack he took was the one where he fumbled on, which just kind of sealed the game in a roundabout way. That was the only sack, but they put a lot of licks on him in the first half. And I don't want to say he developed happy feet. He had a great second half. He had 500 yards passing, for goodness sakes. Yeah. But I had forgotten how, even though they gave up 33 points, defensively, They played really well, to be quite honest with you.
So. Giants, that first Super Bowl, I remember that watching and so confident in the unbeaten season. And then right off the hop, just watching the Giants pass rush, I was like, I think we're in a little bit of trouble here. that was a big trouble in that game.
Yep. All right, 9:45. We were scheduled to be joined by CBS NFL insider Jason Lackenfor, your good buddy of yours, Simmer, from back in the day in Baltimore. Unfortunately, Jason has had some personal stuff that's come up this morning, so he's unable to join us today, so we'll try to reconnect with him at some point down the road for some good NFL talk as we head toward the draft coming up in less than a month as far as the NFL is concerned.
Yeah, for sure. Texting just after 9, all ready to go, and then, let's hope that it's nothing related to what everyone is dealing with right now, but we'll keep it updated and hopefully on another day.
All right. 9:45. We've been going through as we have been kind of how hockey birthdays kind of trigger some great memories from over the years. We did a few of them earlier this morning. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, in some opinion, hockey player of all time, Gordie Howe, would have turned 92 years old today. Mr. Hockey, 1,767 NHL games. 1,851 points, would have turned 92 today. In fact, I got a text from Brian,
who said he watched Gordie Howe play a game at Maple Leaf Gardens against Frank Mihovlich.
Oh, nice.
You're talking about two guys with over 500 career goals going head-to-head in one of the greatest hockey venues of all time.
Well, Frank, I don't think as big as Pete, but to imagine back in the day the size of these guys for an NHL, where average guy was about 5'9", 5'10", would you agree that historically, and I guess it's a bit of an era thing, the debate is always the best player of all time, Howe to Orr to Gretzky? Is that what it usually kind of falls into as far as people debating it?
I think if you're narrowing it down to three, I'd say that, because that's era to era to era, right? Yeah, there was almost a baton passed, I guess we missed a couple of year window, but you know what I mean? Like, they've been continuous now since Gretzky has retired. Has there been someone to grab the baton? You know, he retired in 1999, right? There have been some great players. Sidney Crosby maybe being at the top of the list over the last 20-odd years, but he didn't get drafted till 05. So is there a natural thought as to who was next? In terms of greatest of all time, there's no one that comes to mind.
No. You get into Ovechkin as far as great goal scorer. The nice part we have now is just the sheer volume of players. And when we're talking about the draft with Craig, you get into these comparisons, that happens a lot. That is probably not the negativity. The part that intrigues me most about the draft, and I asked this to Craig, is going through and understanding that the Quinns and the Hugheses, or the Rossies and the Lafreniere, are basically the same age as the three kids that were picked in the first three last year between Hughes, Kakko, and Doc, and then just understanding a kid like Byfield, like you're talking about a physical monster who's going to play at about 240 pounds. There's got to be a lot of teams looking at that and saying, hey, I appreciate what Lafreniere, but let's take everybody back a year and compare them to the same age that Byfield is at right now, and let's try to project out. That's got to be a lot of discussion in war rooms.
Right. We mentioned, speaking of birthdays today, there's some people with some Ottawa connections. Our old buddy Brendan Bell, celebrating his 37th birthday today. Maybe listening right now. So happy birthday to you, Brendan. Speaking of Ottawa connections, Jake Chychrun. You know him well. Now, of course, grew up in Florida. Had that crazy thing where he was playing for a team, out of Detroit?
Yeah.
When he was a teenager. He was a teenager in Florida, kind of flying all over the place with summer hockey or whatever. Jake Chychrun has turned into a real good defenseman for the Arizona Coyotes. And they've made some bets on some young players. Arizona has that... right now, we could say maybe you could question them a little bit, or maybe it's not quite, with all the high picks they've had haven't turned out. They drafted him, 16th overall a few seasons ago. Yeah, he had sort of fallen a little bit. He's turned into a real, real good pick.
He really has. And if you've ever met him, met his father, you're talking about class, leadership, salt of the earth. I think a few things. This is over scouting, a bit of injury. And I think there was also a bit of a feeling that he was a man child, right? So when Craig Button talked about this, is where the strength coaches are really important, because they'll come in and look at a kid and say, hey, I don't care what age he is. I mean, you could have somebody like a Ruslan Saleh back in the day drafted as a 20-year-old. Tell me where he'll be at physically. And some that are really underdeveloped, and I'd look at a guy like Jack Quinn and think that even as a late birthday, it's really important for your strength coach to say, hey, this is where he can go, or this is maybe where he can't go.
Brad Marsh, speaking of good Ottawa guys, of course, we talked to Marshy, about a month or two ago? He's down in Brockville for the big alumni tournament. Brad Marsh celebrating a 62nd birthday today. We're talking about all the great goal scorers born on this day, from Gordie Howe to Pavel Bure to many others. How about the fact that Brad Marsh had 23 goals in over 1,000 NHL games? That's hard to do, to score that few.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd bounce a few in over the years, taking some
that
shots.
By calculation, for every 100 games is 5 goals. So that's a pretty good career. And speaks to the defensive defenseman, speaks to the old term off the glass, and also speaks to just one of the best people you're ever going to meet.
And maybe owners of two of the larger feet that you're ever going to meet in your life. Is still the greatest, one of the greatest mysteries to me is how, and I don't remember which one, but one of Brad Marsh's sons turned into an elite level long track speed skater for Canada, like approaching level of being able to make the Olympic team.
Yeah.
Anybody that watched Brad play knows that necessarily speed wasn't the number one definitive note on his career.
To hear his kids turn out that way
is okay. So happy birthday to Marshy. Some other names on the list today include, remember Gilles Gilbert from back in the day?
One of my favorite books I ever got. We went down to play in a tournament in Boston, probably early 80s, and ended up getting getting a yearbook of the Boston Bruins, and just to see that in color. And at the time, Gilles Gilbert had coho pads, which were the coolest look ever. And even as a big Montreal Canadiens fan, I didn't realize for many years after the fact that that was actually him in the net when Guy Lafleur scored the famous goal, where I think a lot of people think, at least I thought it was cheesy forever, Jerry Cheevers, but Gilles Gilbert for sure, great gear.
That famous goal, that was the 79 playoffs, I believe, in the semifinals, game 7. That was Don Cherry coaching the Bruins, mm-hmm. too many men on the ice. Peter McNabb, by the way, served the penalty.
Okay, yeah.
Little known trivia if you ever want to bust that out on somebody.
Yeah.
And still to this day, and maybe we can find, can we refine the Danny Gallivan descriptions and accounts of that goal?
Yeah.
So that's Guy Lafleur in game 7, but still remember kind of up the ice. And still to this day, I look at it and I know that they don't own the types of sticks that can fire it like they did in Guy Lafleur. But how did he score from just over the blue line? Yeah, far side?
And the goal, I think there was a sniper there because the goal, Gilles went down in a hurry. And Peter McNabb did the TV forever for New Jersey and then went out to Colorado. His late great father, Max McNabb, was a longtime general manager with both Washington and New Jersey. So good hockey family.
All right. And last but certainly, do we have the goal? Maybe we'll do it going into the break because good to relive that memory. Last but certainly not least, celebrating a birthday today and probably checking his bank account while he's doing it, turning 36 and about to cash his second-to-last paycheck, is David Clarkson, who has not played a game in the National Hockey League since 2016, of course, signed that monster 7-year, $36 million deal with the Leafs, now coming up to 7 years ago, made close to $50 million in his career. In all seriousness, is his career derailed by injury. But boy, oh boy, he's been cashing checks for a long, long time.
Yeah, remember watching him back in the day, and we had a trade going, and it was a choice of a few things for a defenseman by the name of Ken Klee. We were trading from Toronto to New Jersey. He was one of the players we had an opportunity to trade for. I just didn't think he could do it. Willed his way, had a 30-goal season. And if you also remember that free agent year, rolled into here to Ottawa. Ottawa was very interested in signing him. I don't know if that pumped up the price. But it also felt like in Toronto it never worked, right? Like he was trying to be something that he wasn't. But a credit for him, he had worked himself out a junior as a player that nobody ever thought would play in the National Hockey League.
All right, we'll take a break. Final break, 9:53, and then come back. We'll wrap things up. We'll turn things over to the boys from In the Box. Don't forget, Jack Quinn will join them at 10:30. Just fresh off his number 6 overall ranking in this summer's draft by Craig Button. So we'll look forward to hearing from Jack. And as well, Jared Cowan relives some old memories of the 2013 playoffs with the former Sen, who we haven't heard from for a long time. He will join Graham Creech and Steve Bunda on In the Box ahead of our Game 3, Round 2, 2013 playoff replay for you tonight. Our best 10 of the last 10. It's Sens and Pens tonight at 6 right here on TSN 1200.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur.